even better tomorrow after the LA Guns concert. Right? You're going to feel... That's going to be a fun time.
I'm sure there'll be many backstage parties to attend in a VIP fashion.
Well, usually I'm happy that something's at a smoking menu, not today.
Yeah. 503-733-2970.
Is that for smokers?
It is the, what?
Is that venue for smokers?
I'm pretty sure it is. I think there might be like a little isolated somewhere for non-smokers, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I was there for SantaCon and...
It's all about the rock, Tim, and to rock is to smoke, more or less.
I see.
Just one moment, we will go to the Ministry of Truth. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, who I believe is also just the tiniest bit under the weather today, from Storm in the Balls, Storm Large. Hey, sister, what's up?
How you doing, guys? Actually, I'm feeling much better. I've been on the meds.
Did you have the flu or a cold?
You know... I'm with Rick. I don't know the difference at all. I couldn't tell you the difference between a cold and a flu. I guess flu is a really bad cold. They're both viral.
My nose just starts to run liquid sometimes, and then it stops. And that's all I really know. That's all
it's
it is.
Either in your head, your chest, your throat. It's like so many different horrible things that the human body can put you through.
Really, is true.
I had the best thing a singer could ever get, and I got horrible laryngitis.
Ugh.
And then coupled with some bronchitis for just to complete the cocktail.
The best part is when you get like that sinus impaction, to where it feels like somebody has just filled the inside of your head with glue and cement. That's a good feeling.
Hot.
Yeah.
Is it a sexy voice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's especially sexy is when your head makes a sloshing noise as you sort of... Every time I would like bend over to tie my shoes, inside my head was just like the inside of a fish tank.
Oh, yeah. What was sexy with me was before I started taking antibiotics for the bronchitis.
Yeah.
I was at night coughing up what looked kind of like hunks of gray chutney.
Welcome to the lunch hour, everyone.
Yes, enjoy. Take a big bite of that mayonnaise-y sandwich. Mmm. Yeah, it's so awful. I was in Iceland with some of my old pals from Rockstar.
Oh, were you doing a show there? Was that the thing? It was like Magni's birthday party or something?
Yeah, with you. Darn it.
What?
Son of a...
What? Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, there you go. Yeah, I was with my old buddies in Iceland, and the day I got there was very exciting, and I had a great time. I was very tired, so I took a nap, woke up, couldn't talk. So
it does seem like a place called Iceland might not necessarily be so hot for your immune system. So
well, you know, they say there's more ice in Greenland actually than in Iceland, and that's the truth.
So do you have get well tips for Sarah Dillon and her ailing voice today?
Well, actually, you know, yeah, as a singer, I do. It's boring, but you can gargle with some warm salty water to kill any infection that's already in your throat. But I'll tell you, man, those Icelandics, they gave me some cool drugs, and I can't read any of the packages, but I was able to sing two shows.
They gave me powdered goat horn.
Yeah. I don't have any idea what it was. There was a picture of a nose on one, so I was like, okay, that's for my nose. And there's some suckers, some mountain herb suckers. But if you want, I can bring you some throat lozenges, some Icelandic mountain people throat lozenges, and they work really, really well. Narcotic, but they felt really nice.
Yeah, I'm doing the natural cherry Rite Aid zinc lozenges right now. They're actually, they work pretty well.
Anything that sells for a pound for 99 cents is no good for you.
Zinc actually works really well for damaged tissue. Like if you've been coughing a great deal, you can rip up your throat pretty badly, and that zinc helps with that.
And okay. that Will guy's got some red wine. That'll probably help, too.
Yeah, you know, also drinking, it numbs the pain and makes you think you're better before you're better.
Fantastic. All right, Storm Large, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Storm.
All right, thank you, Storm. All right, there you go. StormLarge.com. Storm in the Balls. Thank you. Fantastic. Excellent. All right, ladies and gentlemen, make way! At the Ministry of Truth, he's Tim Riley.
For the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's going to get nasty out there. It may already be where you are. Heavy rains will pummel Portland, and strong winds are coming. A storm is moving onshore, and it should get here tonight. There are going to be wind gusts of 100 miles an hour on the coast, 65 miles per hour in the valley. It's going to knock down trees and power lines, and it's going to be miserable for everyone, so get ready. And that sets back the rescue effort to find those three missing guys.
Is it a cave where you are?
Well, apparently, Hood River County Sheriff's Department Deputy Chris Gerton says those three climbers could be anywhere.
They could be up at the top with Mr. James. They could be in a snow cave down lower. That's why we're kind of continuing some of our lower elevation searches for snow cave or whatever signs we can come up with.
You know, the thing is, you're trying to find the news, trying to watch the news as they look for new angles on this. I was talking to somebody about this last night, someone I shall not name, but who works for a prominent news dissemination organization here in Portland. And he said that's the thing. It's just like just combing through it over and over, trying to find some aspect of the story that they haven't already covered like 1,000 times.
Why should we go look for these people? Well, according to the wife over to the missing climbers, these are wonderful people.
These are three of the most phenomenal men you could ever meet. They're smart, they're strong, and they care so deeply
about
for
children.
One another.
All right.
And besides that, apparently they have God on their side.
They all love God so much, and we know that God is with them, God is watching
that
over them, and that he is going to watch over them in this the most difficult times of our lives.
God is not going to climb to that altitude.
Really? Yeah, God's got other things to attend to.
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, the Lord helps those who don't put themselves in retarded situations to begin with. I think that's one of the Beatitudes.
The Lord helps those who do not leave Texas.
Well, that's like when that just reminds me when you're going into Tijuana, and there's that sign, like, you are now leaving the unit. You are no longer, if you pass this point, you are no longer under the protection of the Bill of Rights. That when you leave Texas, you are no longer under the protection of Jesus. When you leave, as soon as you walk outside.
The Jesus map does not stretch this far north.
We're protected by Vishnu here,
we're too close to Canada.
Yeah, your Jesus help doesn't. It's sort of like cell phone reception. Your Jesus protection doesn't work in Oregon.
Jesus is not set up for roaming charges.
They all love God so much.
He's busy helping somebody score a touchdown. I'm sorry, Jesus can't.
Jesus is experiencing a high volume of prayers right now. Your prayer will be answered in the order it was received. Thank you.
How much lower can we go today? Let's just find out.
You are terrible.
I'm just...
But that's one of the funniest things I think you've ever said.
I'm just making the observation. Just saying what no one else will. Here's Tim Riley.
So we'll check back with God in a little while and see how he's doing in helping the rescuers.
We should pray for
these wonderful people.
We should also pray for some stuff today and see if he answers our prayers. We should all place a prayer to God today. At the end of the program, we can sort of weigh in and see, see what's been answered and what hasn't.
I'm not sure that people want to waste their valuable time asking the Lord for favors for people from Texas.
Well, no, I'm not going to pray for them. I'm saying I'd pray for something else. I want some strength to die.
More snow.
Yeah.
Let it snow.
It's too soon. Today, has Tim Riley gone too far? Let's see. Chuck, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to be the first official call here, and those guys are officially dope-sickles. And there's another Texan in line taking up the Jesus line, I'm sure.
That really is true. How ironic that they're being prayer-blocked. They're being God-blocked by another Texan right now who's just...
Trying to extricate his ass from something big.
Seriously.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, sir. God-blocked. Here's Tim Riley. By the way, God-blocked...
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to make fun of this because it wasn't these people's fault. The case of that San Francisco online editor's James Kim's Roe, which he drove down and got lost, and died of exposure in the Rogue River Canyon, according to this latest story, was never locked and was not broken open by vandals. Which leads us to ask, where did that broken lock come from that reporters were holding up?
Now, did we see,
numerous occasions, and more than a couple of reporters all held up pictures of this broken lock, which they said was found at that gate.
And here's the only reason I ask. I doubt this. I'm just saying I don't watch local television news ever at all.
Yeah,
ever,
I don't see it on local. I
ever.
Don't see it on that.
Okay, but they did. There was a guy saying, like, this lock, which was broken by van.
Right.
So you're right.
It's found here at the scene. So at this gate.
It's like those Dan Rather documents. Like, where did the lock come from?
Mm-hmm.
And so no one is asking that question then.
Except for us. And we want an answer.
Well, and this is, you know, this is going to be exactly like, this is the benchmark we use for this, the gold standard. That story after 9/11, blah, 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 how they found the hijackers' passports in an alley, and then that story, like, was pulled and you never saw it again. That's what it's going to be with this. I wanted that footage of them holding up the broken lock. I want to know where it came from.
I hadn't even thought of them about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I remember the most. That was the slant on that story, that one particular day that this broken lock was found, broken by vandals who left the gate open after moose hunting or whatever they do up there.
And the thing is, in that part of the... See, Sky, and Scotty's being a negative Nelly, he's being a heckler about this, but the thing is, that road he was on, if it's anything like any of the other roads in that part of the Northwest, you cannot tell when you're on a state road, when you're on a forest road, and right. when you're on a road that takes you to the highway. There is no way to know, especially if you're not from that part of the country.
Right.
You get disoriented very easy, and you can't tell which way is back and which you don't. And plus, the other, because the mile markers are so infrequent in that part of the state, there's no way to know how far you've gone and how far. In other words, there's really no way to know when you should have reached your destination by. It can be very confusing. And the state, you know that the state is totally doing that because they don't want the massive civil suit, which is undoubtedly going to be filed and won by the Kim family.
So, who put that broken lock there? Who found it? Where did it come from? And why were we told originally that somebody broke this lock? Leave this gate open.
I don't know. Do we know any real news people?
No, nobody would speak to me.
Mr. This is Tim Riley. Hello? Hello? Hello?
We have a job opening that's midnight to 6. It doesn't include being on the air. It's a nice little writing job. And it pays $8 an hour.
I'm sorry? Where's that coming from, Tim?
That was when another person in the media spoke to me.
Really?
During our time of...
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that like a... Now, how do you feel about making coffee, Tim? Do you like that? How do you feel about pulling some Associated Press news and handing it to the morning team when they come in? Oh, see, I didn't even get that.
I was very fortunate.
they graced you with the best job offers.
So that is our question.
I'm wondering, is there anybody we know here that we could call and, demand that they look into it?
We don't know anybody downstairs anymore.
We don't know anybody at Coin anymore, do we?
No.
Yeah, we don't know anybody at the...
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you know, well, okay, now, I won't say who, but now we have a pretty good contact, and it's not who we're all thinking.
Just pretty good?
It's not Kristen. Okay. I have a good contact at K2.
Oh.
So you know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm referring to?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know anyone spoke to you at K2.
No, well, not anymore. Well, they've gone through and they've rotated enough people. They've gone through enough turnover that there's actually, now the law of averages kicked in eventually and there's somebody there who likes us. We have a pretty good contact at K2 who has a little bit of input on these things.
So why isn't this question being asked by anyone today?
Well, you know what? In the next break, I'll get a hold of this person and I will pass this along. I don't want to say who it is on the air. It's somebody we all know.
As long as they credit us with it.
Yes. No, that's a great... Well, they'll credit you.
Not even credit me.
They can just credit new intrepid newsman Tim Riley. Because let's be honest, it's not like we have the investigative wherewithal to go... Like we have a mobile news van or something. We go not. We totally should. We should just go find... Well, who would we ask about this?
Somebody at the Bureau of Land Management? Wherever they are?
Is that who? I mean, the only reason...
Well, they're the ones that said that this happened.
It's not like I want to pawn the story off on somebody else, but I'm not even sure who we would ask about this. So is the Bureau of Land Management the ones who held up the lock and said, this lock was broken by vandals?
No, they're the ones that claimed, originally, that this lock was broken.
All right, Scotty, look up Bureau of Land Management and see if there's a PR person or a press person.
They'll lie anyway.
See, it's hard to believe that no one will take our calls. It's hard to believe that no one will grant us an interview. Get those lying sons of bitches on the phone right now.
Page one for a replay.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So the second big story today is South Dakota Democratic Senator Tim Johnson, who is now, not a laughing matter, in critical but stable condition at George Washington University Hospital in D.C. following surgery to treat a problem with his brain. He has, something with three very long names here, but it has to do with bleeding of the brain. Surgeon Dr. Kathy Silva of the Cleveland Clinic, we always go to them when we have problems, the problem involves an abnormal combination of arteries and veins that build up pressure.
Wait, hold on, I didn't know we were going to the Cleveland Clinic. No one told me. We're going where?
The Cleveland Clinic.
All right. And so what?
Well, this is a combination of arteries and veins that build up pressure in the brain, causing it to bleed.
Brain tissue may either be deprived of blood and oxygen because they don't have that sort of area where the nutrients can percolate through, or the high-pressure blood can rupture into the vein at a high pressure and cause blood to burst into the brain.
So here's the problem. If this guy has to relinquish his title, which nobody wants to admit to, it could happen.
Right.
So the governor of the state gets to name whoever he wants to finish the term until the next election in 08.
And this is in South Dakota?
Yeah, and this will be a Republican.
Yeah.
If this happens. Worst case scenario.
Well, that's what Lisa Goddard was saying. And she really is, I'm not going to say she's naive, but she really is, she tries to be a true believer. She tries to be idealistic about these things. And I was noting that, of course, even if this guy is just, and I hate to be callous about this, but even if the guy is just a vegetable, even if he's permanently incapacitated.
What about Reagan?
He
continued for like 2 more years.
I was just saying, the guy was like,
Nancy told everyone he's just busy today, come back tomorrow.
Ron, he's riding a horse. He'll have to come back next week. Can I help you in the meantime? Let me get my Ouija board. They don't want to admit that the guy might be incapacitated because then again it's going to tip the balance and of course it's somewhere Karl Rove is just rubbing his hands together with you know what it is they're going to find some sort of weird puncture mark on the back of this guy's head and they're going to see some Russian scuttling away over a fence in a security video
he was poked with knitting needles.
That's what I'm saying, man. The idea and as she described this ailment that like that his brain, that this is not funny, but I mean, it's just so weird that in his brain, the veins were just, they just weren't really constructed well to begin with. It was a lot of, like, exposed ductwork in there, and then eventually just, you know, right while he was on the phone, so that's no good.
Well, anyway, House Majority Leader Harry Reid went to visit Johnson in the hospital, and it said he looked very good in a Dick Clark way.
Everyone treated the family so well. I was very impressed. And we're all praying for a full recovery. We're confident that will be the case.
Pray for that.
No.
Not that they've done a mountain or anything.
I was going to say, it's more bad news for the Mount Hood 3.
All prayers have been rerouted.
All prayer circuits are busy. Please try your call. Isn't that the most frustrating thing ever when they don't even give you like a reel? They don't even let you hold? Like when you try to die, all circuits are busy. Try again later. Boy. All right.
Well, there you go. So, if South Dakota Governor Rounds names a Republican, that would place the Senate at 50-50. And guess who the tiebreaker would be?
Dick Cheney.
The long-forgotten Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney would cast the tying vote, and the Republicans would be able to organize the Senate, and the Democrats would lose their majority.
So he's going to get well.
It has to happen. We should organize a prayer circle right now. We should organize. That's one thing that could probably get liberals praying. The idea that Dick Cheney might somehow become the tiebreaker there. That's the one thing that could get a bunch of lefties down in Pioneer Courthouse Square, like trying to trying to summon the will of God.
So we do have that phone call. This all started when the Senator Tim Johnson.
Is this going to be the call where his brain explodes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're warning people ahead of time. We know it's a lynch hour. There's no sound associated with
you
it.
You can't hear the brain falling apart.
Cannot.
But it is.
He's on the phone.
You know what I forgot to mention to Lisa Goddard? What this sounds like, not aurally, but what this is, the description of this reminds me of that. Remember that thing we played by Bruce Williams one time where he had gone crazy?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And what you want to do is get a big boat and fill it with taco sauce. And he just started, like, talking about, which I've lost, by the way. I have no idea where that is. That's what this sounds like it sort of is. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is...
He was being interviewed, and he just started to unwind, and here's what happened.
The money was proposed to be provided a year ago.
That's unnerving.
It is.
That's creepy. Well, someday if you hear me just slowly start to you'll kind of know. You'll know what to diagnose me with. Good God. That's freaky.
So I guess if that happens, you kind of like spit out things that are stuck in your memory.
I guess.
Like old tags that you read like 10 years ago. Test drive the new Chevrolet at Simi Valley Chevrolet.
Seriously.
Or courtesy Chevrolet Santa Barbara.
I wonder if that's what it is. Like when your brain starts to unfold. Well, have you ever? Okay, maybe not. Maybe this is a thing that only I start to think about
Now I'm doing it now. Now every time I...
Okay, now you're going to start getting that little pain in the back of your head. This happened to me several times.
Hold on.
I feel this little pain in the back of my head that wasn't there before reading this story.
Hold on, my left arm is tingling. Wait, and I'm blind in my right eye. And I'm covered in spots. Now the problem is every time I forget something today or start to stammer, I'm going to think that my brain is bleeding.
Yep.
Okay, seriously, that was what I'm talking about. Oh, my wife. my wife.
My dog. And my neighbor.
Waffle iron. Waffle iron. Woo!
Halloween.
Uh-oh.
You are a terrible person.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get the blame off of me.
No, here's the thing. Because my wife deals with the crazy, I do kind of wonder sometimes, like when, you know, you sort of see the people, because I've told you that I went to visit her one time. It is not where she works now, but she used to work at a place, well, I won't name it. She used to work at a home for the nutty. And I would go to visit her on my lunch hour, and some of the people, like, you know, were just kind of kept in the room and sort of, you know, they were sort of kept restrained. But some of the people would wander the hallway, and I mentioned this story about there was a woman there, relatively young. She was early 60s, I think, but had Alzheimer's. But the weird thing is, like, she would talk to you, and in her head you could tell it was, like, complete sentence structure, that it made total sense. And she spoke as though it made sense, but it was just gibberish. Like you'd walk in and go, "Hello, Polly, how are you?" And she'd go, "Well, I like the waffle iron with the daisies, and I'm outside with the cat on top of the roof because the cowabunga and the gazebo macadamia nut with my moccasins." And you're like, "Really? That's great, Polly. What about that?" "Well, I'm going to have lunch with bacon, you know, bacon appliance toaster, you know, grass, wheat, pool, you know, just..." But she would say it as though it was a real sentence. And Lara said, "The thing is that it's exactly what you said. That they will start phrases will come out that clearly meant something to them, like in the prime of their life, like when they were 40." And so I actually wonder sometimes what I'm going to sound like when I'm old and crazy. I actually have thought that a lot now since being with Lara. Is the what kind of crazy will I be when I am 80? So let's all dwell on that for a while. Happy Thursday. Start to think about exactly what you will be like when you are a crazy 85-year-old.
I'm just going to babble, you know, tags from car dealerships of long ago.
Hello, Mr. Riley. Would you like lunch? Everything must go. No credit, no problem. I need lunch. I wet myself again. Free hot dogs for the kids. Let's take a break now, shall we? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, hey, we'll call back with a drinking update. Fantastic. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Told me she'd love me, and I told her that I'd do the same. And I hold it in Denver, and I just can't
All right. The Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. Rick, I love it when Tim comes in with breaking news in his newsman-type voice and like he just did and says, "There's a big storm coming." I always expect the next words out of his mouth to be, "And you're all going to die. Thank you and good night." Well, those usually are the next words out of his mouth. Best goddamn newsman ever, says delivery driver Mike. You are correct, sir. Let's see. Tell the weather thank you. I get to move this weekend. Guess that means more booze to keep me warm. Booze. Let's see. We've got a whole bunch of stuff here about... Well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's get a quick update from Will, who was drinking. He started drinking beer at 4 o'clock this morning, and then you switched to red wine at 9 a.m.
Hi.
Hello. What are we? Are you still drinking red wine, sir?
No. With your advice, I switched to vodka at noon.
The Rick Emerson Show tries to help.
Yes.
And what kind of vodka are you drinking?
Smirnoff Blue.
All right. Now, what is the blue is what now? Is that the, like, a flavored vodka?
No, it's just the higher alcohol percentage.
Excellent. Well, you know, anything we're doing is worth doing right.
Absolutely. What I'm thinking is that I might switch over to more illegal things later.
Now, we, of course, can't condone that.
No, absolutely not.
The Rick Emerson Show does not condone any such behavior.
No, and I would not do it before 4:20.
Thank you.
And the other thing I wanted to say is,
yes,
because I have been dumped, is that if there are any women out there, and I'm not going to lie here, I make six figures plus. I have a 3,000 square foot house on 2.5 acres. Now I'm going through a divorce.
That's a room for buying.
So if there are any hot chicks out there, understanding the divorce, who would be interested in a 40-year-old guy who makes two figures
and loves his vodka?
He makes two figures.
Makes stick figures.
You know, the Rick Emerson Show has my phone number, and they may, you know, maybe you guys could hook me up, because, you know, two figures, damn. You know,
damn,
I'm not going to have the house, obviously,
no.
And I'm not going to be making the six figures. Well, I'll be making the six figures, but I'll be bringing home two.
You still have your health. You have your health, though, sir.
I have my health, and you know, the vodka and the wine and the beer, that does nothing but contribute to my health. And I'm even thinking that I might want to do a little polonium.
Okay. I'm going to let you get back to your vodka now, sir.
Later.
Thank you, Will. All right, there you go.
That's just kind of sad.
That's Will.
He's polonium friendly.
He does. M for W, polonium friendly. There's probably some chemical symbol for that. All right. Two figures. That's fantastic. That's censored advertisers. Here's Tim Riley.
So once again, there is a big storm coming. It can start any moment. It's going to get worse after 8 o'clock tonight.
Are we all going to die?
Well, I won't, because all the utilities in my neighborhood are underground. And the trees aren't big enough to hurt anything.
And you're not in a cave. So you will be alive to document the demise of others, though.
Yes.
Well, that's really what matters. Okay.
God watches over the suburbs.
All right.
Not people on mountains from out of state. Anyway, picking up where we left off, which would be number 3 in B.
All right.
Noting that Iraq has made a lot of progress since the ouster of former dictator Saddam Hussein, they're getting crazier by the day. Joe Lieberman says Iraq is a free country. The Democrat turned independent from Connecticut is visiting Iraq with a number of U.S. politicians, including John McCain, who's also going loony, to observe the situation in that war-ravaged country that's embracing democracy.
These are fateful days for Iraq and for the
laundry to be done.
And in the day, you could both see the remarkable progress that has been made from Saddam Hussein, but also, painfully, the distance that yet has to go.
What remarkable progress is being shown?
Really? I think
this is in an empty basketball court.
I was going to say, he's sitting there trying to figure out whether he's going to get the small box of Tide or the small box of Oxidol.
Mr. Lieberman says U.S. troops deserve a lot of credit for the positive things going on that we don't hear very much
about. The U.S. military made it happen, and therefore we should always be proud and grateful to them for what they did there and what they're doing today.
Thank you for doing what you did there.
Thank you for whatever that might be, wherever it is.
John McCain is taking the tour with Mr. Lieberman. He says the Iraq study group appears to have an understanding of the situation.
I believe that there's still a compelling reason to have an increase in troops here in Baghdad and in Anbar province in order to bring the sectarian violence under control.
Really? No lie?
They need better microphones in Iraq.
I was going to say, really? I've got, like, Zeppelin bootlegs from 1968 recorded under some guy's trench coat with a $3 microphone that sound better than that. So why don't you come back to us when you actually are intelligible in some fashion? Let's get a couple of these. Brandon.
Brandon!
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You were asking earlier about with Senator Johnson, what happens if he doesn't die but is incapacitated?
Yes.
As coincidence would have it, the guy that held his very seat in the 60s,
uh-huh,
that happened to him.
Maybe they should check the seat. Maybe there's something wrong with it. Maybe there's...
Polonium may still be stashed.
Maybe his seat is on an Indian burial ground. And what happened to the other guy?
So he held his seat for 3 years without ever actually going into the Senate, but nobody ever tried to kick him out or anything. He just kind of was a...
Because it would seem wrong. Well, that's the thing. Is like you can't be kicking a cripple out of the Senate seat. That would seem... You'd seem mean.
Exactly. Plus, that guy was a Republican, too, so the Republicans have no reason to whine if we decide to keep a
Oh, I see. So it's sort of like we've got a gimme. Really?
Right.
Like, you know, the people
right.
on the left, they get a free one.
That's what I would think.
All right.
Anyway.
Well done. Thank you for clearing that up, Brandon.
No problem.
That's Brandon. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, so here's some clarification on the Senator Johnson thing. If he's to pass and they give it to a Republican anyway,
yeah.
they've already created rules. So the Democrats would hold on to the majority regardless of what happens.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
They would hold on to the majority no matter what.
How so?
They create rules right now. So say like four senators go to Somalia or something, and then there's a fact-finding mission, and they all get blown up for some reason.
God forbid, yes.
God forbid, but hypothetically, if that was to happen, then the Democrats would still regain control. It's part of their... majority prerogative, rather, to set the rules in advance of the session.
As much as I make fun of Scotty for failing his citizenship test a while back, I honestly don't. You could just be making this up, but it sounds convincing, so I'm going to start repeating it as though it's a fact.
All right, so we can talk everyone down from the ledge.
All right, thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
All right.
Well, here's the other point in his recovery. Now, he can be retrained to vote. They give these guys a box. The green light is... yes. The red light is no.
Does he get a tasty pellet?
Primates can be taught to do this.
Does he get a pellet if he votes correctly?
A treat falls out of a chute and lands in a bowl before him. So there's no reason why he can't carry on with his duties.
Seriously, Scotty said something really fun. Tap three times if you want more juice. We'll just get him one of those big hamster water things, just, you know, with the ball bearing at the end of it. Todd, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, truly, best show ever.
Thank you.
It truly, it's amazing.
Thank you. Don't thank us. It really is the universe. The universe just gives us the material. We merely observe.
It is kind of spooky. See, I've been a loyal Rajneesh-style listener since way back in syndicated days.
Thank you.
And I'm almost embarrassed to ask this, but... Every day when you start, you say, welcome to day 12, and I got to say, I have no flippin' idea what you're saying, and it's driving me nuts.
I keep meaning to update the FAQ, the Encyclopedia Emersonia, and this is the right season to ask this question, that when I was a rock DJ, I had to play this song, the Bob and Doug McKenzie 12 Days of Christmas.
I hated that song.
Yeah, so do I, and I only hate it. I mean, I liked it first, like the first 1,000 times, and I can't hear it anymore. It's like the John and Yoko thing, but there's a Bob and Doug McKenzie 12 Days of Christmas. Where it's like, you know, 5 pounds of back bacon or whatever the hell it is, five golden toques. But at the they work their way all the way up through the 12 days of Christmas. And at when they get to day 12, they go, it's day 12, you know, hello and welcome to day 12. And that's what they say when they get to the 12th day of Christmas in the Bob and Doug McKenzie thing. Hello and welcome to day 12. And I don't know why, but somehow that just fell into my lexicon as a thing that I say. And I really don't know why I started doing it, but that's where it's from. It's from Bob and Doug McKenzie's 12 days of Christmas.
I can die fulfilled.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Try not to do that, though.
As hard as it's raining and windy and driving out here like with all the other maniacs, I've got no money on survival.
Stay away from mountains.
Oh, well, yeah. Believe me. 15 years in search and rescue. I know those things.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Later.
Thank you. That's Todd. Excellent.
And you do want to drive as fast as you can to get home as soon as possible.
Occasionally shut one eye to keep it interesting. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
So why do we need these fences on the border? Well, we have companies like Swifts and Company. More than 1,200 people have been arrested in meatpacking plants in 6 states during raids by the feds. These happen at Swift and Company, which is a giant slaughterhouse for all you meat eaters. You know all about this. Immigration officials last month warned Swift that it was going to remove unauthorized workers. So Swift goes to court, tries to get the judge to stop this. They would not, because the company estimates the raid would remove up to 40% of its workforce.
Jesus. Where is this company based at?
They're all over the country. There's, they raided one in Greeley, Grand Island, Cactus, Texas, Hiram, Utah, Marshallton, Iowa, and Worthington, Minnesota. So these are out in the States, so they can slaughter all these animals and use illegal aliens to do it and not pay them well. So they removed 1,200 of these people, and Swifty's going to complain. So that's that.
All right. Scotty is saying here, don't take next call. Person is idiot with radio on.
That's all the more reason to rack them up.
That's
ready
to
go.
That's the respect for the audience that sets our show apart. Person is idiot with hello. Hi.
Turn that radio up.
They're all over the country. There's, let's see, there's Creighton Budding, really, Grand Island, Texas.
Hello, sir.
Utah, Marshall, Iowa.
This is kind of a weird, a weird feeling.
They can slaughter all these animals and put them really into it. And I pay them well. So they removed that.
Hello.
Hello?
Could you turn that radio up, please?
Hello, Rick. This is Rick. I'm speaking to you from the past. Hello, Rick. This is Rick. This is your past self speaking. You're hearing this in the future. He's typing on the screen now. Retard. This is hilarious. I'm not even able to hear my past self speaking to me now. This is pointless. Well, okay. Well, that's the anatomy of a failed
bit. And just as he says hello.
What, was that him? Well, sorry. All right, here's Tim Riley.
All right.
Are we racking up on a line? Okay, A? Okay.
A final vote by the Georgia School Board is expected today that'll keep Harry Potter books on the shelf of Gwinnett County Schools. Parent Laura Mallory sought to have all the Potter books removed because she said they promote witchcraft. In an interview, she lamented that students can't read the Bible in school, but they can read all about witchcraft, don't they?
Mainstreaming witchcraft. They're aggressively recruiting children into the Wicca religion. They're making evil look innocent, and I think that's the most disheartening fact about these books.
You know, this is why...
They're trying to recruit into the Wicca religion.
Is that part of the Wicca agenda?
It is.
The witchcraft agenda. Here's the thing about this. I was talking to Nate Baker about this last night. This is the thing about, you know, the one thing that the extreme nutcase, like the more extreme and nutty you are on the right, like the more you are just like some unhinged Christian nutcase, the better they are at framing the arguments. And that's when she says that thing about, well, you can't read the Bible in school, but you can read Harry Potter. There's no one stopping anybody from reading a Bible in school ever. Ever, 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 ever. No one has ever been stopped from reading the Bible in school. No one has ever... That's the thing where you can't pray in school now. No one has ever stopped anybody from praying in a school. It's never happened. And I would also like to note out, as... And Michael Dukakis was ashamed to admit this, I am not, as a card-carrying member of the American Civil Liberties Union, I would like to point... And as I just received my updated dues-paying card in the mail the other day. I would like to note that it is because of the ACLU, incidentally, that you are allowed to do such things in many states, because the ACLU does go to bat for Christians and people of all religious faiths. So there's no one anywhere who has stopped from reading a Bible in school. It doesn't happen. Quit saying it.
Mrs. Mallory said it is wrong for youngsters in school to read Harry Potter and not the Bible.
Kids can't read the Bible in school, but they can read all about witchcraft.
Oh, shut your hole. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson studio from the front our good friend Carol, who mans the Rick Emerson front desk here. Carol, what have we got here?
Carol. Flowers for Sarah.
For me?
For you, because you're sick.
Do you
remember? Remember? Cough?
You remember how you were sick, Sarah?
Yeah, remember that?
Remember that?
I'm too busy. I've eaten almost an entire bag of zinc lozenges.
She's really high on Theraflu right now, so you can't really say anything.
Sarah, aren't these lovely?
Those are beautiful.
So who are these from?
These are from John.
John.
You know. John.
John.
A secret admirer. He's waiting out in the lobby, salivating as we speak.
All right, so this is a...
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have a listener who dropped off flowers for you because you were feeling under the weather.
That's right. He did.
All right.
And he wanted to deliver them personally to you.
Oh.
All right.
And
well, okay then. Well, it's a germ-laden studio, so it's probably not a good idea.
That's right. Well, you carry on, folks.
We'll break in a minute.
Yeah, okay. We'll break in a minute. We'll duck out and say hello. Yeah, the studio's filled with germs and typhus.
Just the way we like it.
All right, thank you. One of us. We should make sure that there's always somebody sick in here, so that no one can come bother us. We should make sure that this studio is always under some kind of a quarantine. All right.
Wow.
Those are really nice.
Those are really nice.
All right. See, that's something the Rick Emerson audience cares. Mm. It's the best audience ever.
It is.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Las Vegas State Senator Bob Beers is working on a bill that will allow teachers and other school personnel to carry guns into class. The Republican lawmakers said the issue boils down to one basic question.
Is violent crime best answered by people taking personal responsibility for their self-defense or by attempting to disarm everyone?
Will we reduce violence by having more guns? The answer is a resounding yes, of course. Yes. Let's do the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
President Residence is kind of in charge. He's got the whole country staying. That's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that say? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my own.
That's my Bush.
Is preventable and treatable. The president took that message to a White House study group on malaria. He said there's a crisis at hand and the U.S. has responded to a call to act.
We believe in the timeless truth. To whom much is given, much is required. By making the world more hopeful, we make the world more peaceful. And by helping others, the American people must understand we help ourselves.
Are you entirely sure that soundbite is from this year?
That is from the malaria study group.
Okay, that is, by the way, we're going to file that away. That really is George, but that is, I think that should be our new official default George Bush soundbite. First of all, malaria. It is, in fact, 2006. Is he just, like, spinning a wheel of things, so as a wheel of crises to try to figure out what he should do to divert attention?
He has a little metal box of index cards, and he just chooses them at random.
Well, see, I mean, I don't know. Was he looking for something about mongoose or something, and then, it, like, that would happen to be right next? But listen to how he is presumably speaking. It's tempting to call BS on this entire story. Listen to how he's presumably speaking about malaria, but it could be... So, Mr. Bush, what do you think about the spread of democracy?
We believe in the timeless truth. To whom much is given, much is required. By making the world more hopeful, we make the world more peaceful. And by helping others, the American people must understand we help ourselves.
Mr. Bush, what do you think about those annoying people from the Salvation Army who do the ring-ding thing outside the Fred Meyer and badger you for spare change, even though you've just spent money on overpriced consumer goods?
We believe in the timeless truth. To whom much is given, much is required. By making the world more hopeful, we make the world more peaceful. And by helping others, the American people must understand we help ourselves.
That's fantastic. Let's never lose that soundbite, Scotty.
So addressing this malaria summit, the president called for more international cooperation against the fight of malaria, calling it a global problem and requiring a global effort to combat it.
The United States is proud to take the lead. I encourage other countries to whom much is given, much is required, to step up and give. I want to thank those who understand that malaria is a global problem, and we've got to work to solve it together.
You can hear how the computer program that runs his brain started to skip there because he began...
You can hear the fan running.
He just they need that little can of compressed air. Uh-huh. Am I the only one who noticed that, where he said something, and then he quoted himself? He quoted the speech he had just... Listen,
the U.S. military.
Wait, no, that's just me. Listen to the... Okay, here's the first cut.
We believe in the timeless truth. To whom much is given, much is required.
Okay. Now, here's the next sentence.
The United States is proud to take the lead. I encourage other countries to whom much is given, much is required, to step up and give. I want to thank those who understand.
This is like a musical act that uses their own name and references their own songs inside singles.
You can't do that.
All right.
Well, whatever. Meanwhile, an Australian was barred from a London-Melbourne flight unless he removed a T-shirt depicting George Bush as the world's number one terrorist.
Bam!
Alan Jason was also prevented from catching a connecting flight within Australia later that same day unless he removed the offending T-shirt. The woman at the security check-in at Heathrow just said to me, "You're not wearing that." Mr. Jansen, who lives in London and was flying to Australia to visit family December 2nd, said he was first told he would need to turn the T-shirt inside out before he was allowed to board the Qantas flight. "I told her I had the right to express my opinion," said he. She called security and other people became involved. Unfortunately, they said it was a security issue in light of the so-called present situation. It was argued that other passengers could be offended. Outside the U.S.?
Yeah. And by the way, I'd like to note that I saw for sale this morning, although it says it in Arabic, somebody is now selling my idea, the shirt that says, I am not a terrorist. Okay. They sell it now. They sell it. It says it in Arabic, so you can't really tell me yet. So that is out there. All right, there's your Bushwatch. For Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
He's the president, residence is kind of in charge. We've got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
We should take a break here. We'll come back. We've got a few phone calls here, and we have confirmed this. Around the corner, we will talk to our good friend, Mr. Skin, who we haven't talked to in quite... It's been a while. We've been a long time since we've had that guy out. So we're talking to our good friend, Mr. Skin, from MrSkin.com. Around the corner, he's got his top five nude scenes of 2006 that he's going to be talking to us about. We got that. Later on, we will revisit the Ministry of Truth. We will have... We got Jim Roop coming up. That's like in the 2 o'clock hour. And then some other things inside this upcoming hour, 1 o'clock. We got L.A. Guns tickets to give away among those. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.